Welcome to Energy Matters, where we explore alternative health in the Pioneer Valley. I'm your host, Caroline Rutterman, and I'm a Reiki professional and intuitive in Northampton, Massachusetts. For the past 9 years, I've been teaching people how to use their intuition and helping them reduce stress and anxiety. Together, we'll talk with other practitioners and learn how they bring health and healing to the Pioneer Valley. Let's do this. Welcome to Energy Matters, everyone. I'm your host, Caroline Rutterman, and we have a very special guest today, Laura Campagna. Laura is a Western astrologer. She's a tarot intuitive and tarot teacher, and she's also an energy healer. So welcome, Laura. I'm really glad to have you here.
Well, thanks so much for having me here. It's really fun to be on Valley Free Radio with you. And so I have been interested in energy healing for quite a while. I got exposed to Reiki when I was living in Portland, Oregon, and doing an herbal medicine apprenticeship about 15 years ago. I moved there after I had been living in New York during 9/11.
Oh, wow.
And so I had a lot of grief to heal.
Yeah.
And I just went to this man who was incredible, and he kind of started me on my journey. And it wasn't actually... I dabbled in some different kinds of energy healing in the Bay Area when I lived there, but it wasn't until about 4 years ago, and I was going through a really unexpected hard breakup and of a long relationship, and someone just asked me what's your New Year's resolution, and out of nowhere I said, I'm gonna learn Reiki.
Whoa.
Yeah, it just popped into my mind. And it just started me on this journey of becoming an energy healer. And I dealt with chronic health issues since I was a kid. And I really firmly believe that the majority of people who have chronic health issues are being called into being healers.
That's really interesting.
Yeah. And one of the reasons I feel that way is because my Reiki teacher, I'm from Boston originally. I've lived in lots of different parts of the country, but I'm there again, and I've been there for a while. And that's where I learned Reiki. And my Reiki teacher told me the story of the first time she had a Reiki class, and she said after she got her attunement, she said, I've given myself Reiki every single day since then.
Yeah, it's the foundation of the practice. Yeah. Self-treatment.
So that just inspired me so much. And I'm a Capricorn, so I really like routine and structure.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, so you're telling me that if I want to maximize this experience, I should do it every single day. And so I shall.
And it is done.
And it is done. And it is, may it be so. And I really loved Reiki, and it helped so much with my insomnia, which has been an issue since I was really young, and my anxiety. But I wanted to go deeper. I knew I didn't want to teach Reiki, but I knew that I wanted to go, I wanted to continue to enlarge my healing practice and studies. And so I just prayed to be shown my path, and I was invited to experience a healing circle with a woman in Boston who is a high-level vortex energy healer.
Oh, cool.
And that was how I got exposed to vortex, through some mutual friends who are also Reiki healers and practitioners.
That's really cool.
Yeah.
So I want to swing back around a little bit.
Mm.
So when you talk a little bit about praying for guidance, or, you know, what does that look like for you? Because I feel like that is a very personal thing. Mm. And a lot of people have religion kind of tied up in all of that, too.
Mm.
Can you tell us a little bit more about when you pray for guidance, what that looks like and how that fits into your own kind of journey and exploration?
Absolutely. So I have always identified as a witch since I was a child. And I think being from Boston, you learn about the Salem witch trials young. And, you know, instead of getting the message, well, I did get the message that witches are a threat to the patriarchy and dangerous,
of course,
which I liked.
Yeah, you're like, I like that.
At 8 years old, yeah, I was like, subversive. Great, let's go. and ready to take on the man from a very young age. But I've always had a really strong connection to the goddess and Gaia, the natural world, the earth. And I really believe in a loving divine force that's guiding us. So when I pray for guidance, I usually pray for whatever's in my highest good. And I really leave it open because as a human, I want a lot of things, but I don't always know what's best for me.
That's true. I know we have a limited scope of what we can see that's in front of us.
Mm-hmm. So I've had so many spiritual experiences and been guided in directions that I never would have imagined for myself. The world is so vast. Imagine the universe. So, I didn't know what direction it would take me, but as it turns out, vortex energy healing is in the Merlin lineage.
Oh, okay, cool.
Yeah, so although I've practiced Wicca since I was really young, and I've always identified with as a witch, Merlin, anyone who practices vortex healing is a wizard.
That's cool.
Yeah.
That's automatically cool already.
Yeah, it's really fun. So
what is what is the Merlin tradition? Can you just fill us in a little bit on that?
Sure. So the lineage holder is named Rick Wyman, and he actually is based out of Amherst. So he's local. And it is my understanding, and I would definitely encourage people that are interested to check out the website, which I think is vortexhealing.com, and Rick has published several books. But basically, about 6,000 years ago, there was an avatar, so a direct incarnation of the divine, who lived on Earth, who came to Earth. And the energy that came through this being is the energy of magical transformation.
That's cool.
Yeah. So as someone who's always been really interested in magic, it really works for me.
Yeah.
It really grabbed me. Then that, you know, being passed away, and for a long, long time, the lineage would pop up and then die down and pop up and die down. And so who we think of as Merlin wasn't the first Merlin, but the original avatar, as they're considered, was in India. It was called Mahindra.
Gotcha.
And so I don't want to speak with too much authority because really all of this is, you know, passed down to me. But I, from what I understand, I think the Merlin that we think of as the King Arthur's court was maybe the 13th or something.
Okay.
And then it's continued on. So Rick, who is the lineage holder today, isn't, you know, he's just continuing a long tradition of people who have since brought this energy in and taught it to others. But my understanding is that it's there's a lot of us now on Earth relative to other times.
Very cool.
Yeah.
So the vortex healing work that you do, what is it for? How do you use it? Can you tell us a little bit more about what that is and kind of how it fits into your hands-on healing?
Absolutely. So how it works is, you know, for me, I'm just going to bring a little astrology in because it's hard for me to talk about life without it.
Bring it. Bring it, girl.
Okay. So I'm a double Scorpio. So I always want to know why. You know, I want to go deep. I'm trying to get to the root of things. And I really loved Reiki because I felt like it really helped with symptoms, but I also felt like I wanted to get to underlying causes of things. And for me, my system, vortex healing, has been incredibly effective with that. So it's a kind of healing energy. It's the energy of magical transformation, and it goes in, and when I work on clients, you know, they might come to me and say, I'm really anxious. I'm having trouble sleeping. I have a pain here. You know, I have an old injury there. I have some emotional trauma going on. And so I really want to alleviate their symptoms. I want to release as much as I can so that their body returns to a state of relaxation and really bring up the overall energy of the system and support the body in healing as it naturally does, because we are a miraculous machine, right?
I know. Yes, absolutely.
It's incredible. If we're well rested and well hydrated and well slept, you know, the human body, just the powers of regeneration are incredible. But for lots of adults, those are really, that's not your average day, right?
Yeah. You hit all those. I know, sleep is hard for people. Yeah. And of course, mm-hmm. absolutely. So just getting that foundation going is itself a challenge.
Exactly. And I feel like we're living in a time where there's a heightened state of anxiety. So things that have been maybe present in people's lives, I'm noticing seem to have reached more of a chronic or a crisis state. So, and I do really feel like we're all being called into healing in this moment in some really profound ways, individually, personally, and collectively. But so when folks come to me and, I'll work to release things like anxiety, but I always let them know you're going to probably feel some anxiety leaving your system. And that is a part of it, because I'll get everybody real nice and relaxed. And then I'll go in and I'll just start, you know,
start digging.
Yeah, that's right. Blasting away.
Yeah.
And doing their releases. And I know for my own self, I, you know, I had injuries from when I was younger and all these things. And it was so interesting for me when I started working on myself to feel the emotions that lived in these stuck places and in these hurt places. And, you know, I really believe that we have to feel it to heal it. And we have, the only way out is through.
Yeah.
So if I want to no longer, you know, engage with a pattern, I have to be willing to see that whole scenario that's creating that pattern and let it go. And when I say see it, I don't mean invest a lot of energy in the story behind it. Just for me, it's been really a beautiful way to get to know myself and connect with my body and really feel like I'm in relationship with this human form.
Yeah.
To be like, oh, that place on my left shoulder that hurt so much that I just wanted someone to wave a wand and make it go away.
Yeah. Zip.
That knot is actually a confluence of grief and sadness and loss. And, you know, and there isn't a quick fix to it. And that's always a little disappointing for humans, right? We just want to wave our, snap our fingers and have it go. But also, then I develop so much compassion for myself. And when we start to believe that we're worthy of healing, I think we begin a really incredible journey of self-love. So,
oh, that's really beautiful. Thank you for sharing all of that. That's sure. really, you know, I think, and that's kind of what I'm always really drawn to, is how, you know, that deep healing work and how we start digging into that personal journey, and what comes out of that is this kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. And that journey that we bring ourselves on is how we help other people and how we kind of, you know, continue to create that transformation for others. So I like that. I like that a lot. So you do the vortex healing out here as well, because I know you said you're Boston based, but you're in Western Mass quite a bit as well.
Yeah, I'm frequently out in Western Mass. I have a lot of dear people out here. I love the woods and I love this land. It's so beautiful. I'm based in Boston. I can do the healings anywhere.
Okay.
I have clients all over the country. And it's just as effective at a distance. There's some things I could only do in person.
Okay.
But, yeah.
Anything specific that should be done in person that people should kind of have their ears out for?
I think having an in-person session is so wonderful if you can. It's a great opportunity. And when I'm out in Western Mass, I often will travel to people's homes because I get a lot of references from, you know, people will pass my name along. So as long as I know someone, I will travel to see them if I'm already out here. So
yeah, why not?
But at a distance is also great. You can do, I would say I can do 90% or maybe 95 of things in at a distance. So
that's awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah. So if you're just tuning in, you're listening to WXOJ 103.3 FM Northampton. And we are here with Laura Campagna, who is an astrologer. She does vortex energy healing and tarot. I had a tarot card read for like a spread read by you. And I remember I had written some information down in my journal and I still go back to it and I still reference it. And aww. I'm like, Laura said this and da da da. And it really did leave a very deep impact at that time in my life when I was trying to figure a lot of stuff out. And, you know, I think your work is really beautiful.
Thank you.
You really have, you put your finger on something and it's like, you get it. You definitely get it. So how did you get into tarot?
Yeah, that's a fun question. I've been reflecting on that recently, because I grew up in Boston, and you know, it's such a privilege to have access to a city when you're young. And I remember I just took the train down to Newbury Street, and I went to this really beautiful independent bookstore that's been there a long time called Trident Cafe, and I bought myself a tarot deck. And I'm Italian. I later found out that tarot, as we practice it now, originated in Italy. The decks that were made back then in around 1490 were painted on metal. And
what?
Yeah, they were engraved and then painted on metal. And each town, each city in Italy would have its own variation. So the deck that we have was made for, I think, a wealthy merchant in Venice, but was preserved by a family who lived in Milan. And around the early 1900s, the British Museum received a full copy of photographs of the deck and put them on exhibit at the same time that the members of the Order of the Golden Dawn were commissioning. It was a man who's gotten a lot of credit for the tarot, commissioned a woman to paint the deck. So to paint a deck. And so what we know as the Rider Waite deck was commissioned by Waite, and Rider was the publisher, but it was actually painted by Pamela Coleman Smith. And so she was the artist, and she was the one for whom, you know, the energy and the muse kind of flowed through. And so there's a movement to rename the deck to include her name.
And was that the first deck that you picked up, was the Rider Waite, or what was her name again?
Pamela Coleman Smith. So she got to look at these images in the British Museum and base the Rider Waite deck on it. And I looked at that deck and I wanted it, but I ended up choosing a deck that had an Italian name because I wanted to connect to my Italian heritage in that way, which...
Why not?
It was a funny example of not trusting my intuition, which I used to not do a lot and then get the results I didn't want. And so I got a deck that was a little scary, and it scared me. So use it, but I would be really afraid.
Scary meaning the imagery was
a little violent.
Okay.
Yeah, there's a lot of swords, a lot of blood. It was a medieval depictions.
Medieval times were pretty violent.
Real. Yeah.
Yeah.
So I just started giving readings to myself, I would kind of force my friends to let me give them readings. And then when I went to college, there was a whole movement in the 1970s with women creating their own decks, and I really liked the Mother Peace deck, which was round and it had a lot of it was really a lot of diverse imagery and images of women and living collectively and queerness and people of color. And so I liked that deck a lot more. It didn't scare me. And so I would give myself readings, and I always have given myself readings mostly when I'm going through a hard time.
Okay.
and especially around breakups, you know. And it's really funny because you really, when you read, it's a form of divination. You're engaging with the universe. The universe is speaking to us all the time. And I think that tarot is a really accessible way for us to talk and to ask questions and to listen. But we have to be open to receiving the answers. So,
how do we know, like, if we're open to receiving the answers or not? How do we know that?
Sure. I think I know if I'm open, if I get answers that I don't like or wasn't expecting, and I'm willing to stay present and I'm willing to ask myself, well, does this feel true? Even if it's not what I wanted to see, is there something I need to learn here? Because the deck is always perfect. The reading's always perfect. You know, the reader, we're flawed. The information that I convey may not, you know, it's not as perfect as what the universe is showing us, but we're always getting the reading we're supposed to have, and we're always being shown what we need to see. But that's hard for humans. We don't always want to see what we need to see. That's a really big challenge. It's similar to healing, where I want my knee pain to be gone, but maybe it's hard to feel and sit with the intense emotions that I would have to sit with for 10 minutes in order for that to release. 10 right. minutes can feel like a really long time. Seeing a reading that is bad news can feel really devastating. So absolutely. I think that, you know, what I like about tarot is that it offers people in just mundane situations a way to connect with the divine and a way to connect with the universe and a way to be in conversation actively. We always are, and the universe is always signifying to us all the time, but it doesn't always feel as clear as when you sit down, hold a question in your mind, shuffle the deck, lay out the cards, and just see the story that's being told to you. And then, you know, hopefully your heart stays open to hear the whole story and not just pick the parts you wanted to see or that you like the most.
Maybe record it so you can go back and listen to it later and say, oh yeah, I tuned out at that part, but she kept talking.
I mean, it's funny because I actually, with my business, I record my astrology readings because they're really detailed. But with the tarot, I actually, because they're images, I think they work on a pre-verbal level. I think they work on us with our subconscious and our – and so I actually discourage people from recording because I think that they will retain what they need to and just kind of let the information wash over them. I do say take a picture and go back to it later. But when you look at it, don't try to remember what I told you. What does it mean to you? Because – that is the most important thing is, and, you know, similar to, like I said, where I think everyone, you know, that is having chronic health issues is being called into healing. I would love for everyone who wants to be in a deeper conversation with the universe, who loves tarot, to get a deck and practice, because, you know, that's really the point of it all, is for all of us to be deepening our conversation with the divine.
But get a deck that you like.
Yeah. Don't get a deck because, you like the title, the name. But you should feel connection with your deck. So now I'm going to be honest. I have a lot of tarot decks. A little bit of a
– you're a collector.
I am a collector.
You're a connoisseur.
Yeah, and I love all my different decks, and they all give me different readings, and you get different information from them, and it's such a beautiful, rich tapestry. I have a pretty elaborate morning ritual around meditation, prayer, and pulling tarot cards, and I use several different decks to give myself a reading for the day. And it's just a beautiful way to start off feeling connected to something bigger.
I love that. One of my a friend of mine used to every morning she used to draw a card and then journal.
Oh, yes.
And she would have a full you know, a full notebook about the card and her reflection. And that's how she really got to know each individual card, was by just drawing right off the top or shuffling or however mm-hmm. she chose on that day to pick her card. And she really deepened her connection to what she was going through, her personal journey. And it was really a deep dive for her into the deck and into her own self-reflection.
Absolutely. And that is, so I read tarot for probably a long time, probably 15 years before I started to say, okay, I'm going to do a card a day practice with a journaling exercise attached. And once I did that, my experience with the deck, I now read intuitively. So I teach intuitive tarot workshops, and my goal is just get everybody off the book. Mm-hmm. Because as I was saying before, a lot of the books were not written by the people that painted the images from the Rider-Waite and from the Toth deck, which I use also. Same situation where the men's writing the book and the woman's doing the painting. So I just think that, you know, we don't have the words of the women that painted these images. So it's always an interpretation, whatever.
And maybe reading. She didn't have the words for the images. Who knows?
She had the images and it came through her. And so whatever we're seeing and imagining and connecting to, I think is really important. So, I love that card a day practice. I recommend it for anyone that wants to deepen their own relationship with the tarot. And it's definitely one of the ways that I got off the book.
That's really cool. Mm-hmm. So who usually comes to you for a reading? Because I know you work for you pull cards for yourself.
Sure.
And that you pull cards for mm-hmm. lots of other people too.
Yeah.
So who usually comes to you? Like, what do they come? Like, why do they come? Mm-hmm.
All different people. I mean, I love living in Boston because I've been hired by high schools to read at their after graduation party. It was not an after the prom party. They did an after graduation party instead.
So cool.
It was so beautiful to read for young people on the cusp of this major transition.
What a confusing time when you graduate high school and all your friends are leaving and you're just saying to yourself, change. Oh my God. Mm-hmm. What about me?
Yeah. So I do private parties. I do public events. But my individual clients are the majority of my practice, and all different kinds of people come to me, and they come for all different reasons. And some people just come because they want to check in, you know, they just want to talk to the universe, and maybe they have their own tarot practice, but they want an objective perspective. And I totally relate, you know, I love getting tarot readings myself because it's always good to hear what the universe wants to say to you through someone else. It's so beautiful.
Yeah.
And who you choose is exactly the right person for you to receive the message that you're supposed to have. And so people might come because they want to make a big decision, maybe about a move, maybe about a job, maybe about a relationship. And I think that, you know, I went to graduate school for creative writing. So I consider myself first and foremost a storyteller. Mm. And I think that storytelling is so ancient. It's our first form of entertainment. And in places where there's, you know, not television all night long, people are still telling really beautiful, wonderful stories around the fire, under the open sky. And so I think that we can relate and connect to and retain stories in a really different way than if just, you know, you're my friend and you're telling me about a breakup and I just say, oh, leave him, you know, or just like dump her, you know, or just like forget them.
It's very two-dimensional.
Yeah, exactly. And it's not as compassionate. It doesn't take in all the nuance. And when we see the whole thing laid in front of us, it just helps us make our decisions, provides clarity, and it also acknowledges our whole humanity and the full range of emotions that go into every decision we make on Earth. Mm. So yeah, I think that it can be so helpful in just helping people to get in touch with where they are and what their heart is really desiring and really communicating to them.
I love that. And there was something that you had posted, I think it was for one of the more of the parties that you did, that one of the tarot parties. And it said something about, it was just a little side blip that said feminist, queer friendly, body posy, anti-racist space.
Oh, yeah. It was for the tattoo parlor in Brooklyn I just read at yesterday.
Yes.
Yeah.
And I really loved that for a lot of reasons. Mm-hmm. And I, you know, because I know that you do a lot of work with like queer and LGBTQ folks. And can you talk a little bit about what drew you to working with this population of people and how you hold space like that? Because I'm just going to read that again because there's a lot in it. It's a feminist, queer friendly, body posy, anti-racist space.
Yeah.
So how do you hold that container for that community?
Well, so I grew up so I'm a queer person and I'm a fat person, and I grew up really wrestling with those facets of who I was. They were sources of pain for me. My relationship to my body was complicated and challenging. My relationship to my sexuality and my gender was complicated and painful. And I also, you know, had the privilege to grow up in a place that was progressive, diverse, not as diverse as, you know, I think it could have been or should have been, but also in an interracial family. So I grew up with, like, a lot of knowledge about the past from the perspective that there have been great injustices done, and that the foundation of our country is really bloody and horrific in the genocide of Native Americans and the transatlantic slave trade, and that these are things that as human beings we are called to rectify in our lifetime through making the world a better place and through, you know, with a spiritual kind of commitment and mission, in fact, studying MLK as a kid. And so I come to those values are my values that have always been my values. I studied gender studies in my undergraduate. I did human rights work for a long time before going to graduate school for creative writing. And I always had the opportunity to be living and working in the queer community. And there's a lot of magic in that community. And I think that we can see in our culture and in our society that people who are often on the fringes or the margins, quote unquote, of mainstream society are the culture makers, are the magic makers. And that those are the communities that are creating the art, creating, you know, so many of the things that we love and enjoy the most. And it makes me, this is not the world I thought I was going to live in 2018. This is not what I thought the world would look like at all. And so
that you're going to be living in the like the parallel world where like Hillary was president and we were going to be doing more environmental stuff or like,
well, you know, I would say that Hillary was not my ideal candidate. And I don't think that just because a woman is in office that that's progress, because look at Margaret Thatcher. But and also, you know, I never thought that I would live to see an African-American president. I didn't think that. And I was born in the late 70s. And so it was a huge, huge, profound thing for me that Obama was elected. It was beyond my wildest dreams. And then it was really devastating that, you know, he didn't do a lot of the things I thought he would do, and, you know, deported more more undocumented people than any other president in history and didn't close Guantanamo and all of these things that as a human rights activist were really important to me and I thought were part of his progressive agenda. And that taught me the limits of the presidency and having someone who was a community organizer in office, you know, how much change can really be affected from within. But I do feel like when I say that we're all being called into healing, what I mean by that is that every single person with the administration that we're living under, which is a fascist regime, which has, you know, astrologically, there's echoes of really scary times of the 1930s. So it's scary to me looking, you know, seeing all this, that every single person is being called into being our best selves and really passionately proclaiming our values. And just in Massachusetts, there was an initiative on the ballot about whether or not to uphold the rights of the transgender community. And that shouldn't even be a question. And it definitely shouldn't be a question in one of the most progressive states in the country. And I'm happy that we, you know, passed overwhelmingly. And I'm really overjoyed to see that support that was expressed there. But yeah, I just don't think that you can't. I think it was Noam Chomsky says you can't be neutral on a moving train. And there is no neutrality under the system. And so if you are not actively saying, and as a spiritual person, I believe that all life is sacred and that all beings are an expression of the divine. And so if I believe that, then my humanity is not more important than anyone else's, and no one else's humanity can be sacrificed for my quote unquote safety, because I will not actually be safe if that is the circumstances. And so I do feel that this situation we're in is somewhat of a spiritual crucible where we're all being called into being active healers in every way.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So we're going to take another short break. Mm-hmm. And if you're just tuning in, you're listening to Energy Matters. And I'm Caroline Rutterman. And we're here chatting with Laura Campagna, who is an energy healer and an astrologer, as well as a tarot reader. So we're going to listen to Miguel with a track called Get You. And we're going to come back and talk a little bit more about another aspect of your practice, which is the astrology. And if we're lucky, if I'm lucky, if all of you out there listening are lucky, then maybe we'll do a little reading for me in astrology, kind of a little quick peek to kind of see what in practice that looks like.
Yeah.
Because that is another major skill that you do as well. So Laura is kind enough to give me a little taste of a reading for what's coming up for me, because I know that I have a bunch of big changes in my astrological life.
Mm-hmm.
So tell us about what's going on in my chart. Well, yeah. What is a chart? Just can you give us a brief, like, what is an astrology chart?
Yeah, let's start there for those who've never had a reading before. So when people want an astrological reading from me, I ask their birth date, time, and location, and that enables me to calculate a chart. We have software to do it now, but before people had to do it by hand, which, you know,
it's crazy.
It's awesome, yeah, and took a little longer. Gotta flex those math skills for that. And so what you'll then see, and whenever anyone comes to get a reading, I give them a copy of their chart to keep, which is really fun. And I still have some of the original copies of charts I received in my 20s when I started going to astrologers.
So you've been doing this for a long time.
Oh, yeah. Yep. Yeah. My mom had an astrology book when I was young, and I figured out that I was a Scorpio moon, and I was like, oh no, that sounds terrible. but it's definitely a healer signature. I actually got a reading from a famous astrologer back in the day, and she told me, oh, you could do astrology. And I thought, no, that's not for me. I just like to dabble.
And fast forward to 2018, yep. And you are very talented at it.
Oh, thank you. Yeah. So I've been practicing astrology with clients for about three and a half years now, and I love it, and it's definitely a passion / obsession, and I practice ancient or Hellenistic astrology, which a lot of texts from about 2,000 years ago were translated, and in the 80s, pretty recently. And so all this information that we have is still kind of being disseminated out into the community. But I just love ancient astrology, and it really allows my Greek mythology nerd child background to come out and play.
Yeah. And I just want to throw this out there that Laura does teach, like you said, the tarot as well, the intuitive tarot reading. Yep. Do you also teach the astrology as well?
Or I don't not teach as much. Workshops, but okay. I do post on Instagram quite frequently. Anytime there's a major transit, I'll post something on Instagram so people can check out my writing there. And I interact with folks on there about it, and they might ask me questions and DM me with stuff. And I also do a monthly newsletter.
Yeah. Your newsletter is fabulous because it's broken down like week by week and like day by day. So anytime there's any big transits happening or just things shifting as planets do, it's a really nice thing to be able to watch as the month goes. And your writing is great and having that background in creative writing. So if anyone out there is listening, go check out her website. It's CampagnaHealingEnergy.com, which is CampagnaHealingEnergy.com. HealingEnergy.com. And all right, so I'm ready. So anything that you want to share, go for it. Okay. My life is an open book, so feel free to share whatever kind of stuff is happening in my charts.
You're such a brave, adventurous Sagittarius.
I don't know anything else. I don't know anything
else.
You
don't know anyway. You've got a Sagittarius stellium. Yes. How could it be otherwise? So a lot of times when people would say, you know, what's your sign? You would say, I'm a Sagittarius. And that's because that's where the sun is. That's the sign the sun is located in your chart. But our sun is extremely important in our astrological identity. It's considered to be the soul's purpose, our reason for incarnating in this lifetime, the area of life where we came to shine. The sign is the style in which we're going to do the work. And the location of the house is tells us the topics that we're going to do a lot of working it out in. But there's two other really important facets of an astrological chart, and that's the moon sign and the rising sign. And so the moon is considered our emotional side, how we relate to others, how we relate to ourselves. It might be the body of the person who brought us into this world, so how we were nurtured as a child. And some people consider it also our physical body. And the rising is our persona. And in ancient astrology, the rising is also your physical body.
Interesting. I didn't know that.
Yeah. So the rising is kind of how people perceive us. And we're always striving for the highest expression of the sign. You can look around on Earth. There's every kind of person. I love to give the example that Obama is a Leo sun, and our current in 45 is a Leo rising. So you can really see different iterations of Leo there, can't you?
Yeah. There you go. Yeah.
Uh-huh. So we're always striving for the highest ideal of our rising sign. And so you have this really fiery, adventuresome, passionate sun in Sagittarius, in the seventh house of long-term committed partnerships. So we know that that is an area of your life where you're going to be doing some work. And it doesn't mean everything's going to be easy there, but it means that topics are going to be featured
yes.
in your life. And you have very close to your sun, Mercury, which is the mind, the communication. Mercury is the genderqueer god. So it's, I love studying ancient astrology because, you know, the gender binary is not real. And ancient people had as part of their cosmology, androgynous gods, you know? And so this is not new. There's nothing new under the sun, folks.
I love it.
Yeah. Sacred queerness has always been with us. And you have Neptune, which is our big visions and ideals and, you know, a big healing signature in Sagittarius. You have Uranus, which is, I like to call him the anarchist of the zodiac. He's the rebel and the reformer. He likes to break things. He's about nonconformity. And you actually have, I also work with asteroid goddesses as a way to bring in a more feminist perspective.
Okay.
And you have three significant asteroid goddesses. You have Vesta, which is the priestess, the holy priestess who has a really wonderful and incredible long history. Juno, who is the queen of the gods. And
I like all of them so far.
Yeah. And you have Lilith, who was also this gigantic rebel, you know, who would rather be banished from the Garden of Eden and just live on the banks of the Red Sea and fornicate with demons than be subservient to anyone.
I'm down with that.
Yeah. Yeah. So you got a lot of fierce energy. And all of this is like mixing together in your soul. So it's a powerful combination going on. It's exciting.
Thank you.
And yeah, different kind of contradictory energies too. But, you know, it's significant that you have Mercury there because it means that, you know, the way that you communicate is going to be in line with your sun and how you're shining. And then your moon is really beautiful and it's home sign of Cancer. And so moon in Cancer is someone who is another healer signature. The moon rules the ocean and Cancer is associated with the mother and someone who wants to, has an instinct for caretaking and healing and just wanting to, you know, open their arms and take everyone in. And I know that you've given me incredible healings and you're just an amazing healer. Yeah. And I loved when you were describing your Reiki practice to me because you just said, I just beam love at people. And I just felt like that was so simple and so profound. And to me, that's such, speaks to your Cancer moon. It's so beautiful.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And so your moon is in your second house of earned income and our skills and talents. And so this is a very intuitive and empathic signature. And, you know, this is also it's how you make your money is by being intuitive, empathic healer.
That's true.
Yeah. And then you have a Gemini rising.
All right.
So it's interesting because whenever you have your sun in the seventh house, there's this, you're existing along a polarity that will feel very strong. So Gemini is ruled by Mercury.
Okay.
And is very social, very chatty. This radio show is perfect for Gemini rising.
It's perfect.
Yeah, it is. And so Geminis are fun and, you know, they just want to be friends with everyone. They could talk to anyone. So I know we're short on time, so I'll just say that there's so much more I could say about your chart, but it's really exciting that you have so many planets in Sagittarius because Jupiter, which is the giver of gifts and the bringer of blessings, just moved into Sagittarius yesterday. Yay!
Yay!
All hail Jupiter!
So what does that mean?
Yeah, so it means that your love life and all these topics are going to expand over the next year. Jupiter takes about 13 months to move through a sign. So, you know, this would be a great time for you to set intentions around if you're in a relationship, how you'd like that relationship to grow or develop, or if you're not, what is your ideal partner? And, you know, what are you really looking for? What is the fulfillment of your heart's desire in this area because you have your son there? And also it's business partnerships. So if there's collaborations that you want to do, you know, what do you most want that to look like? And when we have Jupiter going through a part of our lives, it's not going to be just all the good stuff because Jupiter will make everything bigger.
Gotcha.
Good to know. I think the universe sets it up very beautifully because Saturn comes through first and Jupiter comes through afterwards. So, you know, Saturn already came through Sagittarius and now Jupiter's and that helps us weed.
I did a lot of weeding.
I'm sure you did. Good for you. yeah. But so it's a time to ask for what you really want and to grow things beyond your wildest dreams. And, you know, I'm a writer and I left my steady job to make this my full-time work.
I love it.
While Jupiter was transiting through my first house of self.
Wow.
And it's not what I thought was going to happen, but it was the fulfillment of my heart's truest desire.
And, you know, it really goes to show that you're passionate about your work. It's your heart's desire. And, you know, I think that because you have all these different areas of expertise and passion and community, and I think you really bring that all together. So we're kind of just wrapping up now. So how can people find you? I know there's so much more on this chart and we just kind of did a little teaser.
Yeah.
We just skimmed the surface. So if anyone is really interested in kind of figuring out like a little bit of like a larger purpose, mm-hmm. astrology is great. And Laura can also help kind of guide you whether you want the healing work or the tarot or the astrology.
Yep,
and I know you kind of do like mixed packages. Mm-hmm. And things like that.
Yep,
so
it's great.
Tell us quickly how people can find you.
Sure. If people like reading horoscopes and want little daily updates, you can find me on Instagram at lauracampagna.astrology. That's my handle. If you would like to check out my newsletter, you can subscribe via my website and you can see all of the services that I offer there. I also do house blessings and clearings. I make under the moniker The Wednesday Witch, I make magical room and body sprays that are astrologically informed. So you can check me out at CampagnaHealingEnergy.com.
Fabulous. Well, that's it for us. You've been listening to Energy Matters. So have a great Friday evening. Take care, everyone.
This program is made possible by Collective Copies, offering digital copying, design services, and a full range of finishing services for all your printing needs. Featuring worker co-op products, fair trade goodies, gift baskets, and books from our Levelers Press. Located in Amherst and Florence, collectivecopies.coop.